There is one man who knows in his heart that it is time to create one America, not two, and that man is Barack Obama.
So John Edwards, let's see, sits out the entire nominating process after he pulls out until the winner is almost 100% decided, and now he endorses. What's up with that? We will talk about it in a minute, but I just want to make sure everybody knows that our spring membership drive has begun, and I just want to thank everybody who donated money to the station yesterday or this morning and in the last few weeks during the buyback campaign. You hear us say buyback campaign, but it really means by making the early pledges, you bought back 2 days of this spring pledge drive. That'll be 2 days less of asking for money on the air. Hooray. So that's great. And thanks again. And to those of you who started the on-air portion of the drive so generously yesterday and this morning, thank you very, very much. And thanks to all of you in advance who we hope will pledge this morning. We ask for full participation by everybody who listens to WNYC on a regular basis, full participation through a simple once-a-year contribution to this not-for-profit radio service. You rely on WNYC for news and information and culture and community, and we rely on you to fund this non-commercial station. So we hope you'll make a tax-deductible contribution right now or sometime this morning at 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or you can donate online at WNYC.org. Thanks to all of you for considering it today. So, yeah, John Edwards finally endorses, plus women in Congress hold an 11th-hour rally to support Hillary Clinton's stance on reproductive rights as NARAL endorses Obama. Did you hear that yesterday, the NARAL endorsement? And John McCain campaigns this week in the dark blue state of New Jersey. So the WNYC All-Stars, Bob Henley and Andrea Bernstein, are here to talk about it. Good morning, All-Stars.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Andrea, can you explain the Edwards endorsement of Obama and its timing?
Well, the timing turned out to be pretty good for Obama, right? Because are we talking about white working class voters today and the devastating loss in Virginia? No, we're talking about John Edwards. So given that the Edwards family made it pretty clear they weren't going to get in to try to influence the outcome of the nominating process, and Elizabeth was conspicuously missing yesterday. She's been outspoken about liking Hillary Clinton's health care plan with its mandate better than Barack Obama's plan, which doesn't have a mandate.
There's a gender gap in the Edwards family?
There is. And I think that it's pretty clear that they made that clear that that was their intention. They weren't going to sort of get in and try to tip the scales. But last week, I don't know if you heard that Edwards interview on MSNBC. People could probably Google it. Uh-huh. He was asked about his endorsement, and he said, well, I just voted for him on Tuesday. And there was a lot
in North Carolina.
Right, in North Carolina. And there was a lot of speculation about whether he said apostrophe E-M or apostrophe I-M. I heard apostrophe I-M. So it seemed to me at that moment that it was clear that he had voted for Barack Obama. And on Tuesday, when I was sort of calling around, I was saying to people, you know, what, you know, would you do if you were Barack Obama and you were going to lose by this tremendous margin? And they said, well, we'd have a conversation changer on Wednesday. And that is pretty much what he did.
They changed the conversation.
In Michigan, no less.
He made the endorsement. He went to Michigan to make the endorsement.
He went to Michigan. He was in Grand Rapids.
What's
he made
the point of that? That draws attention to Michigan, which is a Clinton issue.
Well, it's you know, it's a state that Barack Obama wants to win in November. Lots of white working class voters that presumably would have an affinity with the likes of John Edwards.
So, Bob, might there have been a deal here? Vice President, Attorney General, maybe something policy oriented about an anti-poverty plank?
I think certainly the anti-poverty plank played very large in Michigan, which has never really recovered from the kind of permanent recession with America's abandonment of American autos. But I think what's instructive is the fact that Edwards still got like some 17,000, 18,000 votes in West Virginia. And in point of fact, there may be a little bit of cautiousness here because he had the United Mine Workers endorsement, and had they wanted to do a John F. Kennedy kind of, you know, stop Hillary in the tracks thing, they could have gone down there and he could have endorsed him before the primary, rolled up his sleeves and taken his personality for a test drive and made a stand there. They chose not to.
Because it wouldn't have worked, Andrea, right? It just wouldn't have had enough of an effect.
I don't think so. I think that West Virginia, I mean, if you look at all the counties of Appalachia, starting in New York and going south to northern Arkansas, those are solidly Clinton counties. That's the place where she's getting more than two-thirds of the vote. And I think it would have been very hard for John Edwards to do that, even if he has wanted to. I mean, in his speech, there was a lot of ambivalence. He said Hillary Clinton was made of steel. He talked more about Hillary Clinton in that speech than he did about Obama.
Bob, you were with John McCain. Later in the show, we'll take a close look at the polar bear being listed as a threatened species by the Bush administration, which is astounding, and its implication for global warming policy, which is vague. But you covered John McCain talking about the environment in, of all places, New Jersey this week. And you have a clip. Want to set this up? What's he doing in New Jersey?
Well, I think that while the Times reported that this greening of John McCain debuted earlier this week, it actually happened on Friday. That was the out-of-town tryout at the Liberty Science Center. There had been much speculation behind the scenes from my sources in the McCain campaign that they were going to go to Sandy Hook with Tom Kane Senior. Boy, there's a twofer, a guy that has been kind of contrary to the Bush administration on 9/11 and the Bush administration's fighting on the war of terror, and on the shore with a guy who, as we all know about Tom Kane Jr., has bipartisan appeal. Well, Mother Nature didn't cooperate, go figures. They had to scramble and find, where can we go? Well, the Liberty Science Center, which is beautiful, by the way, if you're stuck inside with your kids, great place to go, just recently renovated. And those folks scrambled and put together a nice event for John McCain with some great pictures of the Hudson River behind him, where both Senator Lieberman from Connecticut, an independent and a close supporter of McCain, and Tom Kane Sr. were kind of like his ideological bodyguards. And then, of course, McCain was referred to elliptically as kind of like the Theodore Roosevelt, you get the subtext here, a conservative Republican who was for conservation. And so McCain laid out his platform on global warming, which he evidently has a pretty good track record on.
As president, I will dedicate myself to addressing the issue of climate change globally. I will work as my highest priority to have a global agreement that includes India and China, and continue to protect our national parks, our great national treasures. And I have a record of that that I am extremely proud of, including the Grand Canyon, protections of the Grand Canyon. I was once honored that former Secretary of the Interior Babbitt said that I was the Grand Canyon's best friend. I don't know if he still believes that, but he said it once.
So John McCain in New Jersey. And Andrea, I don't know if you've been listening to conservative talk radio lately. I mentioned this with Juan Williams yesterday. But day after day, and it happened again yesterday afternoon, Sean Hannity is just hammering McCain over his stand on global warming, saying this is going to be the worst thing for capitalism in American history. And I mean, it's hyperbole, but McCain is taking a stand against the wishes of his party's base. Who's McCain's base?
Well, this is the challenge for John McCain, and this protracted Democratic primary has obscured it. Tomorrow, McCain is in Louisville speaking to the National Convention of the National Rifle Association. Last week, I think it was just last week, he was talking about how his favorite judges were, I think, Scalia, Alito, and Roberts. So he has this incredible divide to straddle between rallying his base, making them happy, and trying to reach out to the independents that he believes that he will need in the fall. So that is the John McCain challenge, and I think that the Democrats are going to be really hammering away at that, saying that, you know, what you're really getting is Bush's third term. Obama's already said that many times, and, you know, this is just the sort of latest model, but they've done nothing to change the workings of the engine.
And Bob, is he really trying to put New Jersey in play by coming here, or making some kind of other statement by doing it in this area? Because, you know, you and I have talked about this before. We see every New Jersey statewide election where
the Republicans are going to win.
Yeah, yeah, they're right. The early polls are, oh, it's competitive. Corzine might lose. Loudenberg might lose. You know, Menendez might lose. And then every time the Republican goes up and loses.
Well, and I think it's instructive to go back to the primary results that we had, where McCain only garnered over 300,000 votes in the primary, And Obama and Clinton combined engaged 1.1 million voters. That's an indication of what's going on. Also, at the local level, we're seeing a kind of tsunami of Democratic interest in formerly Republican districts. So you now see we have a big turnover, perhaps the biggest in a generation, Congressman Saxton, Republican, Congressman Ferguson, Republicans saying, thanks, but no thanks. We'll kind of stand down.
Wow.
And then, so we have a real kind of upheaval. We have three people challenging Rodney Frelinghuysen. I guess he inherited the seat from his father, a Republican, longtime Republican here.
Member of
and
Congress.
This is exactly Morris County, very Republican. So something is in the air. And the,
so what's McCain doing? Why is he spending time and scarce resources in the Garden State?
Right. I think also he wants to be in the New York media market, which was free publicity. And remember, he's down by a lot of money.
Yeah.
And by being there with Tom Kane Sr. and Joe Lieberman, at least he puts a marker down that he can get media time here and get some air, because that's been his big problem. He has been really kind of pushed to the side by this ongoing drama between the two Democrats.
Andrea, yesterday was an interesting day for the Clinton campaign and the issue of reproductive rights. Who thought there would be an interesting day on this so late in the game? But NARAL, formerly known as the National Abortion Rights Action League, now they just go by their acronym, they endorsed Obama. And then there was an event among women members of the Democratic Caucus in Congress restating restating really Hillary Clinton's excellent record on this issue over the years. What's happening?
Well, one of the very interesting sort of hidden emotional aspects of this denouement of a Democratic primary is women. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, white working class voters are going to be upset if Hillary Clinton is not the nominee, and African Americans are going to be upset if Barack Obama is not the nominee. But as Hillary Clinton seems to be sort of sailing off into the night, there's this incredible emotion welling up among women. And, you know, NARAL, national, and I should point out, not local New York NARAL, which did not defect to Barack Obama yesterday, but decided to do it, sort of saying, implying like everybody else, they see the writing on the wall. But then this group of women, congressmen, more than a dozen of them, gathered at the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee in Washington yesterday, to say Hillary Clinton has got a wonderful record on reproductive rights, and she stood up to the FDA. Remember, she withheld the nomination of the FDA for a long time over the morning after bill issue. And they said, you know, how could you do this? It was sort of like, you know, an et tu Brute moment in this election. And there is a lot of emotion among women. When Hillary Clinton was giving her speech in West Virginia, a woman behind her was sobbing. And last weekend, when she was here for a Mother's Day event, I asked a woman, why are you still giving money to Hillary Clinton when many people say the race is over? This is what she said.
I'm giving Hillary Clinton every single paycheck, still. I'm very committed to it, because when you believe something in your gut that you love this country so much, that you want to see it take a turn for the better, you're not going to put your money down on somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. Hillary knows what she's doing.
And tears were sort of welling up in her eyes. I mean, there's a lot of emotion. Remember, for a group of women, and not so long ago, Hillary Clinton was going to be the first woman president. And now there's the sort of emotional reality, in all likelihood, that will not happen.
And we're past time here, but Bob, you have one more clip of tape for us here. And this is of a fourth grader from New Jersey at this McCain appearance.
What?
And this is kind of troubling, even though it's just one kid.
Should I set up a little bit? I wandered around a bit to get that context that we love to get. And there was a display on one of the floors of the Liberty Science Center. There was a cutout, life-size, of Senator Clinton, Senator McCain, and Senator Obama, and these thousands of kids would come up and interact with it spontaneously. And if it was a candidate the household didn't like, they would stick their finger up the nose of the candidate, and the teachers would say, don't do that. But then there was this one fourth grader who came up and embraced Hillary Clinton, and much to the pride of the mother, who was like, go figure, he's a feminist. And so then I asked him, interacted with him about why he picked Clinton, and this was his answer.
I just think she'll be a good president.
And the fact that she's a girl, that's still okay with you? It shouldn't make her not qualified? She's okay?
Yeah.
And what about the other ones? What do you feel about Obama?
I don't think he should be our president because he's a different religion. I don't think we should have another religion for our president.
Oh, do you know what religion he is?
African American?
I don't know. I think he's Christian. And what grade are you in?
Fourth.
Well, quite a moment, Bob. So
yeah.
where did that belief come from in this fourth grader that Obama is a, quote, different religion?
I think we have here the challenge of otherness in America. And, you know, back in 1928, the country faced it with Al Smith, a Catholic from New York, Democrat against Herbert Hoover. And so this is a tremendous heavy lift for Obama in terms of, you know, what Americans think when they're alone with themselves. And how this resolves itself is really going to be determinant about the nature and quality of this election.
Was it an all-white school that he could think African-American is another religion?
It was hard because there were so many kids from so many districts, school districts, they weren't sorted out that way.
I see. Andrea, last word. What is that clip? Is that the first time you heard Bob's clip?
Well, I agree with Bob that when the cameras are off, you do hear people talking about Barack Hussein Obama. You do hear these things, and it's a real issue that I'm sure that we'll be grappling with many times between now and November.
WNYC's Bob Henley, WNYC's Andrea Bernstein, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
And Andrea and I continue our weekly podcast, Digesting Politics Through the Presidential Campaign. We'll be recording a new one this afternoon. You can sign up for a free weekly Digesting Politics podcast at WNYC.org. This is an online-only feature that you won't hear on the air. Sign up for our free Digesting Politics podcast at WNYC.org. Coming up next, traveling in the age of the weak dollar and $4 gas. Stay with us.